Hello and welcome to In Stitches, the upholstery podcast for upholsterers, telling your story and inspiring others with me, your host, Robbie Richardson. Today, I'm welcoming Paula to our podcast. Welcome, Paula.
Hi, Robbie. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure. So, shall we kick off? Do that thing. Ask those questions.
Go for it.
So, when you were coming up to leaving school, did you know what you wanted to do? Did you, were you a creative, were you looking at upholstery or?
Yeah, so my two favourite subjects at school were art, textiles predominantly, and food. So I was doing A-level home economics and A-level art. And I kind of decided I wanted to go down the food route just because I thought that I'd make more money in that area for some reason. And there was a couple of magazines back in those days, but not many. There was BBC Good Food magazine and Good Housekeeping magazine. And I remember when the magazine would hit school, we'd all look at it. And I remember thinking, oh, I'd really like to work for that magazine. One day I'm going to work for that magazine. And then I went off and I did a food degree at Bournemouth University and got to the end of my degree. And I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And I went on holiday to Canada for 3 weeks, and I came back and I decided to phone Good Food magazine to see if I could get some work experience. So I phoned them up and really naively didn't realize that you have to have booked way in advance to do work experience on these magazines, but someone had cancelled their work experience. So they said, could you come in next week? And I was like, yeah, sure. Brilliant. So the next week I was in London. And basically, I stayed, really. Work experience led to a few more weeks' work experience and a few more works' week experience. And then a job came up and I got a job there as editorial assistant. And then that's where my career in food magazines began.
Wow, fantastic. So presumably, actually something you wanted to do, sort of coming up to school, leaving age and so on, that must have been a real buzz to start there.
Absolutely. Because I had people telling me, oh, you'll never get into that, you'll never do that, because I don't have a journalism background, but I did have a passion for food.
Yeah.
So I was like, why can't I work for Good Food magazine? Because it's a food magazine. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I absolutely loved it there. I worked at the BBC for 7 years. I went on to work for Olive magazine, which was a launch. And then I moved up to be food and homes editor for M&S magazine. And then finally, I worked on Swimming World magazine as food editor. So 18 years I worked in magazines.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
And so was this a job or did you have a real passion for it? And I you've answered that as well. So it was really filling that passion for you.
Yeah, every day was different. I mean, I like variety. I was meeting PRs. I was being taken out for nice food at nice restaurants. On Olive, they had a travel section, so I was going abroad and having some nice free holidays and then writing about it. I was going on photo shoots, which were just amazing. Again, getting to eat lots of nice food. So there was just so many brilliant things about it. The team was brilliant at Olive and Good Food, at the BBC particularly. That's sort of where when I look back at magazines, that was the time I absolutely loved more than anything. Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's just, things changed because I got married, I had children, and most of that industry is in London. So it's that weighing up of working in London versus fitting things around your children. So that's and I had to start thinking about alternatives, yeah.
So was upholstery your first thought or did you have other sort of ideas?
Well, it's funny because I'd started following Sharon O'Connor at Vintique on Facebook.
Yes. Yeah.
And then obviously she's on that program Money for Nothing. But what I really liked about her posts was that she would show pictures of the battered chair and then the finished piece, but she'd talk about the person who owned the chair and explain the story behind it.
Yeah.
So that's what kind of put it on my radar. And that was probably when I was working at Slimming World magazine. Yeah. So I looked in and I looked at what she'd been doing and how she got into it. And I looked up an AMUSF course, which was local to me, was the British School of Upholstered Furniture. But I just thought, I can't do this. It's not going to fit in around my job. I can't make this work. So I just parked it. And then when my job at Slimming World came to an end, I sort of thought about it again, but then I took another job as a teaching assistant at the children, my children's school, because I thought, oh, that's going to work nicely around the kids.
Yeah.
I gave that up just before the first lockdown, and great timing. And then I thought, well, what can I do now? What's next? And I just kept thinking about upholstery. So I looked back again and just gave the school a call, went and met Gareth. And about 2 days later, I'd signed up to level one. So that's how it came about, which is what I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, good for you, good for you. And how are you finding it? Has it been what you imagined it would be?
Yes and no. It's definitely more challenging than I thought it would be. I don't know what I thought, really, because I'd not done any sort of short courses in it. So obviously when I went around to look around, there were other students working on their pieces. But I think we definitely all got a bit of a shock the first few weeks, sort of being thrown into it. But it's so interesting because every week's different. We're always learning new stuff. Gareth's amazing. He's so laid back and patient with us all. I think there's a lot more strength involved in it than I realised. I wish I was a bit taller and a bit stronger.
I think it's a technique as well as a strength, though. Because it's not all about, I mean, obviously you need to have strong fingers and so on, but it's not all about that. It is about the technique of it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I know that there's a lot still to learn. I mean, even when I talk to people or even just listening to your podcast, that people are still learning like 30 years later, you know. So, yeah, that kind of is a little bit daunting, but exciting as well, because I was saying I like variety and I can imagine every chair is different. It's always going to be different. You're going to meet different people and just be learning as you go.
Yeah. So bearing in mind your previous background, is there anything that you've taken from that that has been useful in upholstery, or is it just so different that there's no...
Well, I've always been quite a creative person because I liked the art side as well. So I've always done short courses. So I've done an embroidery course, a bag making course and a screen printing course at Central St Martin's. I've done art classes. I've done crochet. I've done things like that. So I suppose the embroidery side has come in a bit handy because of the sewing element to it. And that's a bit I really enjoy, actually, the sewing part. So, yeah, there has been a little bit on that side of things, but predominantly it's all new to me.
yeah, which is the joy of it, I guess, in a way, because you're constantly sort of discovering new things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just learning all the time. And it's just nice as well to be in an environment with other women, because on my course that it's all ladies, just all with a passion for it and all egging each other on, bouncing ideas off of each other. We've got our own little WhatsApp group going, so we're pinging ideas around and bringing fabric samples in and showing each other, that kind of thing. It's just
which builds an enthusiasm for it anyway, when you've got that sort of supportive environment, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. So what has surprised you about upholstery? What had you not expected? Or,
well, I think like a lot of people, I'm sort of ashamed to say it in some respects, that you do sort of see these nice chairs and just think about, oh, that's nice, it's pretty, I like the fabric on that, and don't really think about what's underneath it. So that's been surprising, just the amount of layers under a chair. I mean, I'm talking traditional side, haven't really covered modern, but modern, I'm assuming, is more foam and staples. Yes. So just all the stuffing and, all the layers of hessian, different types of hessian and,
it's a bit of a minefield, isn't it?
A minefield.
Because the way I learnt was very much sort of step by step, sort of doing repeated sort of stripping out of furniture, and then I started making buttons and so on. So it was a kind of different process for me to you, and sort of going straight in, sort of trying to learn everything as you are is. I would imagine it's fascinating and a little bit whoa.
Yeah. Definitely. I think there were a few of us the first few weeks who were definitely like on the verge of tears. And also, there's I know I don't just speak for myself, there's a few other ladies probably who we're a bit perfectionist, and you want it to be right first time, but you're learning, so you know that you've got to undo stuff. And actually, that is how you learn, by making the mistakes. And some of the podcasts I've listened to, I think it was Bruce Jack who said about not being afraid to sort of strip it all back and start again. And I just thought that really resonated with me, that that's the way of it. That's how you're going to learn.
It is, yeah. And it's really tough sometimes when you get to that point where you realise it's wrong and you've got to start again. But if you want to do the job right, that's how it's got to be, you know?
Yeah.
It's the fun of it. So, well, fun of it. It can be quite painful at times when you've spent a lot of time on something, you're going to take it all off again. So what aspirations have you got for upholstery? Where do you sort of see this going for you? Is it something you want as a career, or is it fun, or, you know, a hobby, or?
Well, it's an investment, isn't it, the AMUSF, and I'd like to think that I will finish the three-year course to get the diploma. Yeah. So yeah, I'd like to think it would be a career, definitely. I'm not sure, because obviously it's gaining the experience with other upholsterers, I think, is key.
Well, it's small steps, isn't it?
Yeah, and everyone does things differently as well. I mean, Gareth will show us one way and he'll say, oh, this is how Greg does it. And then I think, you know, if you go into any upholsterer's workspace, they might show you a different way again. So I think if you can learn...
Have you thought about talking to upholsterers locally to you?
I have thought about it. I've tried to look into who's around me. Yeah. It's that daunting thing of plucking up the courage to ask. And also, at what point, because I'm only level one, I'm like, oh.
But it's probably worth making on the podcast. Don't go in there asking for a job. Just go in there and make friends with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose when I say job, I mean work experience. At what point you should ask for that?
Well, the point is, though, if you just go in and befriend them and pester them, you know, eventually you might get something from it, and you'll know if the person is wrong, because they won't be receptive.
Yeah, definitely.
It's worth looking at, sort of, rather than, oh, get your job, try, you know.
That's not me.
And get it going, you know.
But also, I hadn't really thought of it, but I mean, there's other sides that you could try and get experience if you can't get in with an upholsterer. Would be maybe on the sewing side, or just trying to get on, you know, whether that's cushions or soft furnishings, or I don't know, cutting fabric samples or whatever. Just thinking outside the box, maybe to try and get experience in a different way.
I mean, one of the things that's often talked about is machining skills.
Yeah.
You could go find somewhere to get those. Quite easily, maybe not easily, but you could certainly go and find them, probably easier than you could find pestering an upholsterer for a job. But
yeah.
So question we kind of always ask is, what advice would you give? So I've turned it around. What advice and help outside of the school would benefit you?
Well, I suppose we've already touched on it, is that if there are upholsterers out there that potentially would consider someone coming in with some work experience, even if that's just half a day or one day.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, I don't know, whether they could contact their local AMUSF or training centres to sort of just let them know they're looking for someone. But equally, the onus is on the student to do that as well. I'm not sure what... I know I've heard you say before on other podcasts about this, and what the AMUSF might be able to do, or what training there could be at the end of the course, like whether something could be set up that you could go and have a month somewhere.
Yeah. It's a constant conundrum, that one. And
Because it is,
I mean, the AMUSF course is brilliant. It clearly works, but it does kind of leave you in limbo at the end, which is no one's, you know, it's not, there's no blame attached to it, but it's just that part of it needs fixing somehow.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like you say, it's a difficult one. So I suppose that side of it would be what springs to mind.
Well, what about sort of technical issues and sort of like development skills, as opposed to going to work with somebody?
I think I've thought of that yet, because obviously I'm only in level one, but yeah, I don't know really.
No, that's fine. You don't have to know. That's absolutely fine. It's quite interesting to hear somebody that's new to it, sort of their perspective on how they can develop their skills, you know, because you're obviously not the only year one student out there trying to learn and perfect this craft. And it is just that the way in which you learn isn't just at class, is it? You'll be at home doing a little bit, I would imagine. You'll read some books and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got there's the book side, there's just taking on your own projects at home and whatnot. I suppose if you've got a mentor that you can go back to, which in my case would probably be my tutors at this stage. But like you say, if you can befriend some other local upholsterers who you might be able to reach out to, that would be handy, wouldn't it? And there's also these Facebook groups, friendly forums and whatnot, although they're not always that friendly. Puts you off a bit.
Unfortunately, I think at the heart, what they are good, but unfortunately, people being unpleasant.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that side of it. But also, then eventually, there's going to be the business side, because if you did want to start your own business, that's a whole other ball game, isn't it? Like knowing how to run your own business. Yeah.
And it's something as well that is, I discussed it in a previous episode, but setting up a business as well as trying to run an upholstery business when it's all new to it, it's really hard, because there's so many aspects of running a business, and then added on top of that, actually developing your skills as an upholsterer, it's quite a challenge. So I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Who inspired you?
Well, there's a few people. I mean, I have said Sharon at Vintique. Yeah. Upholstery has been brilliant. And Leanne Treadwell at British School, where is it? The
Bristol Collective.
Yeah. But Instagram in general, just following different upholsterers, even students, other students, and seeing what they're up to, and seeing some of these programs on TV. I know some of them are a bit crazy, but that's quite inspiring, seeing that kind of thing. And also my dad. My dad's an inspiration, just because he's 75. He still likes to be busy. He's just repaired a piano stool for me.
Oh, brilliant.
He's helping me out and advising me, and because he was an engineer, so.
Okay, so he's very hands-on as well, which is
brilliant. Absolutely. I'm just planning an ottoman, so he's been helping me with that, and I think he quite enjoys seeing what I'm doing and helping me out.
That must be lovely. Yeah. What part of the skill do you think you want to master? What part of it have you? That in your early stages, have you thought, gosh, that, because I mean, obviously you've just referred to the fact that you've seen Instagram, and you do see some crazy things on Instagram. Is there an area that you think, oh, I'd love to be able to do that?
At the moment, it's just, there's so much to learn, and it's a great question, but I just think every day is a learning day, and even just mastering stuffing at this stage, and how much stuffing, and every sort of element of it, I'm like, I want to master it. And then I'm like, but how do I know when it's right? You know, if I have achieved that? I mean, at what point do you know if you've mastered it?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, that, because I remember right at the early days of me starting, I was stuffing hair into a dining chair alongside somebody else who'd been doing it years and years and years. And I just copied what he did. And my boss came along and said, that's rubbish, take that out, you can't do it. And I thought, why is it different to his? Because it didn't look different, but I mean, obviously, with experience, you realise that there was no consistency to it, because I'd done was wrong hair on it. But so I think that sort of, how do you know when, is just something that comes as you know, when you're in year three, that question will be more obvious to you.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's amazing, even now, when I look back, I was just looking at my notes earlier, how far I've come in like just over half a year, you know, and what we've learnt. But yeah, I think I just want to know everything, but I don't want to run before I can walk.
No, absolutely. Oh, you are doing the written project as well in year one.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going. I'm doing the 20th century furniture project, because I think there's three different ones, and I have started it. I kept procrastinating for quite some time, because it is quite daunting, and some elements of it I've found more interesting and easy than others. I think going back is harder to like Gothic Revival I think more recent things are easier to get my head around. It's interesting, because I haven't written anything properly like that since I did my degree, so that was over 20 years ago. I know I've written things for magazines, but that's slightly different.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Well, we got to that part of the show, the Desert Island Disc part.
Mm-hmm.
So, music, book, and a film, please.
Okay, so music, if I'm on a desert island, well, it's got to be a greatest hits of some sort or a compilation just for quantity. So,
not cheating.
No. So I said, Take That, or maybe Backstreet Boys, or an 80s compilation.
Okay, we'll let you have that.
Book, again, am I allowed a series, or does it have to be one?
No, you can have a series.
I'm sorry, if it's a series, I'd probably go with Harry Potter.
Okay.
Yeah? But if it was one, I'd go with Shantaram by Gregory David Roberts, because that's 936 pages. That would keep me going.
Yeah, you could have had War and Peace.
Oh, no, well, I've never read that, but Shantaram is a brilliant book if anyone's not read it.
I've not read it. So.
Yeah. And film, I've got a bit of a thing about vampires. So maybe like the Twilight series of films.
Oh, my Lord.
But... saying that, Greece. Have to be Greece.
All right, okay. Brilliant. That's excellent. So thank you for doing that for me today. That was really interesting talking to you and getting a perspective from a new person into the trade. And it's thank you for spending the time to talk to me about it. It's been lovely. Thank you.
Thanks, Robbie. Thanks for asking.
Okay. All right. Take care, and I'll speak to you very soon.